It's so good to see you all out here this evening. This is, if you can believe it, it's the fifth teaching of the Courtrooms of Heaven series. We hope you guys are being blessed and getting a lot out of it and following along with it, Father. And we thank you, God, that every door to hell is shut. We thank you, God, that every voice of condemnation is destroyed. And God, we lift all of this sanctuary and your people into the third heavens. We thank you for revelation, wisdom, and understanding that goes into every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So do we know that the revelation that God has for you is, it's a very specific revelation? You know, the secrets that God has to share with each one of us are very specific. We're made differently. We're made uniquely. And it's God's good pleasure to share his wisdom and revelation with us. He loves it. You know, as we grow in relationship with God, more of heaven becomes available to us, more of his heart becomes available to us, and we should be eating that up right now. We should be eating that up. Though there is opposition, we should strive to really receive everything that God has. And so we've been building up, you guys, to a spot that we really want to take action. We want to arm you guys to take action. This teaching is called Courtroom Action, Contending with God. You can contend with God, and it is pleasing to him. As we read in Isaiah 43, starting at verse 25, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. So God's saying, let us contend together. In a nice way, that's almost saying, you know, put up your dukes. Let's do this thing. Let's go. Show me you're passionate about your calling. Within the courts of heaven, we can state our case, as that scripture said. We can state our case in different ways. It depends on where we are at in our walk with God and what we need done in our pursuit of justice and mercy. We are each on a specific path of receiving justice. So in the last teaching I gave, we were talking about everything that Jesus did to allow us to have justice. Everything that he refused to give into when he was a man, he never sought his own vindication. And because he did that, he took the right for vindication with him into eternity, and we're able to receive that vindication from God. We're able to receive justice that we don't deserve. We remember that? Alrighty. So check this out, Isaiah 30, 18. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious, merciful to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. So the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed is everyone who waits for him for his justice. When we receive the proper justice and mercy, we become justified before God. Do we remember that scripture? Those who predestined, he called. Those who called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. We're going to go into that a little more, but that's such a foundational thing right there for all of our walks and calling. And it's God's pleasure to justify us. The cross was meant to bring us justification. There are many ways that we may receive justice from God. There are many different courts that function in various ways to allow for this. And so God has said this. God has said he wants everything from this point on to be done within his courtrooms and his courts in the heavenly places. And isn't that, that seems to be, well, God, what do you mean everything? Well, there's courtrooms in heaven that deal with legal matters, and there's courts in heaven that are armed with a specific work, a specific arsenal in heaven that's ready to minister to us, fight for us, and equip us. So the heavenly places are becoming a reality for us because that's where we're from. And if we want to do anything for God, we need heaven's backing, and we need to be equipped with all that heaven has for us. Sometimes we need to contend outright against the enemy in a courtroom of heaven. when we do this, God is the judge and the one who is swift to vindicate us. And we see that in scripture, this following scripture, Isaiah 50, starting at verse 8. The one who vindicates me is near. Who will dare to contend with me? Let us confront each other. Who has a case against me? Let him approach me. Surely the Lord God helps me. Who is there to condemn me? Powerful scripture. Who can stand against us? That scripture is pointing to Jesus the Messiah. All that he has, all that right to contend, all that status of no one being able to condemn Jesus, what does he do with that? He shares that with us. So that scripture we were talking about is very true when we're using a courtroom that we contend against the enemy with. Now we're leaving that there and we're moving on to the realm of this teaching tonight. The realm of this teaching is contending with God in the courtroom, not thinking about the enemy right now. What can we alone with God accomplish in the courtroom? So sometimes we need to contend with God about certain things. Most notably within this teaching, we will be learning about contending with God, about the things within us that need to become right with him. Is that a long list? Well, of course. Of course, it's a long list. We were born into a fallen world, all kind of sowings into the flesh that we inherited from our ancestors, put us into a pattern, affected our DNA, caused us to walk out a certain way. We need to undo so many things, and God allows this to be done through his courts. And so this, what we're talking about here, contending with God in the courtroom of heaven, is step one to a very deep works of justice. Isaiah 43:26, put me in remembrance, let us contend together, state your case, that you may be acquitted. So there's a court perfectly set up for this. It's called the court of calling. The court of calling. This court is set up to allow God to bring up the matters of the heart. This court is founded upon the intimacy and unconditional love of the Father. So in different courtrooms in heaven, there's a scripture or scriptures that go with it. Think of heaven. God has called heaven. God has called his courts, his heart. So God's word would surely be prevalent in his heart, right? So there's many scriptures that kind of form the atmosphere of different courtrooms and places in the heavenly places. And this court, the court of calling, where we go to contend with God, here is the heart of this court. Here's the atmosphere. And it's the prodigal son story. Now let's check this out here. Luke 15, starting at verse 18. So the prodigal son, right when he comes to, he is at his wit's end, and he's given up. And this is what he says. I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And this story, the prodigal son's story, don't we know that it is a story that Jesus shares? Jesus is trying to tell us something with this story. It's not just some good story. It's a story of great depth shared to us by Jesus. So the prodigal son says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm going to tell my dad this. Make me one of your hired servants. That's the best case scenario that the prodigal son has right now. And he's going to go and just throw this at his father's feet and hope for the best. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, just what he was saying, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and now he's found. And they began to be merry. An unconditional love. In the prodigal son's story, the father moved upon his son with open arms as his son came to him in humility and brokenness. You know, this wasn't just some dad and some son. This was a story Jesus was sharing We are all, have been, the prodigal son, and the father is Father God. So when the son came to him, in humility and brokenness, the father met him. The words that the prodigal said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. That was the brokenness that he was at. He was spent. He had nothing. And he was showing God, he was showing his father that, you know, I have nothing to give you. I'm an empty vessel. You know, I don't deserve anything. Okay. So God's heart in this story is the same as his heart in the court of calling. When God sees you being real with him, being accountable, and asking for help, he will move on your behalf. And is it a coincidence that so the son comes to his father, beaten down, rejected? Immediately, the father receives him, and he's like, put a robe on him. Get this thing going. What does that robe represent? That robe is very important to the whole courtroom understanding. You know, in the courtrooms of heaven, we need to be positioned in a specific place. We need to be fashioned with a specific garment, which represents our position, our calling, our mantles, everything tied to who we are in Christ. So the guy repented, came to his father broken. Father put a robe on him. And there's another biblical example of this. And we're not going to go too deep in this scripture, but there's another landmark courtroom scripture found in Zechariah 3. And in this scripture, the devil's there, the Lord is there, an angel's there, and there's Joshua the high priest that Satan's accusing. Now, the Lord rebukes Satan and renders a verdict on Joshua's behalf. He dismisses what the devil was doing, and this is what happens. Then the Lord answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And he said to him, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. So rich robes, the things that we wear, so important with our standing with God, with our standing in the heavenly places. And we want to contend with God to remove all the old garments so that we can be fashioned for all of the new rich garments. And do you guys remember, it was on Sunday, God was kind of talking about the courtroom. And he was saying, it's abnormal. Get ready to be abnormal. Would, you know, when people think that you have all this heavenly knowledge, you know what you're dressed like in heaven, you know all these places to go in heaven, is that normal? That's kind of abnormal, but that's where we're at. Why? Because we're forerunners. Also, because heaven is coming to pass. All the old is being passed away. All things are becoming new. Where are the new things from? Heaven. See this? So it's like, if you're kind of struggling with that, realize what God just said. Okay. So the rich robes signified the verdict of justification. We've been talking a lot about predestined, called, justified, glorified. The robes signify justification. When you're justified by God, you advance in him. You maintain what you have and get more. In the prodigal son story, the father made a decision to reinstate the son, and this shows as him, clothing him in robes. Just as the prodigal son was real with the father, we must get real with God. We must get real with God. I'll explain that later. So here we go. Here we go. Here's God's commission to us. Here's his statement to us right now. Hosea 14, verse 1. O Israel, all of us, his children, his nation. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord and say to him, take away all my iniquity. Receive us graciously. God's like saying, he's saying, come to me and ask me to take away all your iniquity. Be real with me about your iniquity and what's in you. Take away our iniquity, he has us to say. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. For in you the fatherless finds mercy. Awesome. Awesome. For in you the fatherless finds mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. So God's anger turns away from us when we take words with us and go to God. Now, we're going to find out how we really take words with him, the right words. We're going to find out how to uncover that. So the fatherless finds mercy. Awesome. The number one thing about your identity, the number one thing is that you're a child of God. You have a father. That's step one. You're a child of God. You have a father. We see this clearly in Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So we're first children, then we're heirs. What's that mean? We're children, we receive that, we get ministered to, so that we know we're children, and then we inherit the kingdom progressively. We get more and more of the kingdom after we have our, that after we know who our father is and are right with God. Romans 8, verse 29 says that God predestined us. Okay, so we're children of God. First thing in that scripture I keep bringing up about predestined, called, justified, glorified. This is right before that. This goes along with that. This goes along with being made right with God and advancing in the heavenly places. Romans 8:29, the verse right before it, says that God predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So anything in you, and it's a fight, it's such a fight at times, but anything in you that feels unqualified to be God's child, that's number one about what you want to contend with God about. That's number one. Romans 8 tells us whom he predestined, he called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, these he glorified. The process is the process of our transformation. It's all about us becoming children of God, who are then transformed more and more into the image of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we are being transformed into his image with intensifying glory. Do we all know, we all know we're going from glory to glory? We've all heard that scripture. That's what that is, this scripture. This is just the different version of it. The Berean Study Bible, by the way, is telling us that we are being transformed into his image with intensifying glory. And the New King James has that verse, going from glory to glory. So we go from glory to glory the more that we are what? Transformed into the image of Jesus. Are we doing okay here? Is heaven becoming real? Is heaven becoming real to you guys? That is it. Is any doubt or unbelief going to steal the revelation God has for us? No way. No way. This is real. And you guys are about to be really activated in all the heavenly things. You know, you're not here for just any reason. God is speaking to us right now and sharpening us to be stewards of all of heaven, to be abnormal. And with things are going in the world, who would want to be like, you know, normal, you know? Hallelujah. So the court of calling is a crucial court in the process of becoming justified. And it's often an inward process. This court allows us to receive the deep work of sanctification and to maintain it. God wants to heal all backsliding or waywardness. He wants to heal the things in the prodigal son that made him to be a prodigal, that made him to be a wayward one. Isn't God good? He sees everything in you that is not like him, that doesn't want him. All those things, all those conflicting things, he sees it all and he's coming after it. And the scriptures that we've been reading says that exact message. I mean, we're not just hoping for something here. It's a reality and it's what God has for us right now. So the court of calling is set up to allow us to contend with God freely. So not every courtroom in heaven is as free as this. We want to be free to go into the courtrooms, but there's also places that we can't enter yet, and there's also a protocol that we need to have before we go in there. As we stand right now, it's all good. We're learning about the courtrooms, and this court right here is, you know, God has, there's a lot of freedom in this place. You don't want to go uptight. You don't want to go thinking, oh, I'm going to mess something up. You want to go free. So the court of calling is set up like this, in this freedom. And so what's another scripture that's active in this courtroom? This scripture, Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Who is the word of God? Jesus. Who's Jesus one with? The Father and the Holy Spirit. Who do they want to be one with? All of us. So when they become one with us, we are able to see what's not like them, because they judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so Bible verses do what? They explain, or they expand upon, or they reveal to us the heart of God. They're weapons. It's intimacy with God when we get those things in us. And God may give you scriptures to use in this court of calling, and we'll go into kind of how you do all that. But be very open right now, you guys. Be very open to receiving this. No uptightness. God doesn't want any uptightness right now. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Thank God. Everything is uncovered and exposed before the eyes of him who we must give an account. Ooh, it was going real good there, but then, oh, we must give an account before him. So we don't want to wait to give an account. We want to do so now so that things are settled. So if we go through life and don't give an account, meaning we don't contend with God and talk things out with him, we don't state our case to him, we'll be judged for that. When those things remain in us, our accounts are not settled before God, and there's guilt, there's stuff that we're holding on to that God wanted. All right? And notice how that scripture flows together perfectly well with the atmosphere of this courtroom. It's telling us, in this courtroom, God's going to judge the thoughts and intentions of your heart. He's going to divide you. He's going to make you open. Nothing's hidden from him. And guess what? You're going to have to give an account to him. But the Holy Spirit helps you in this process. See, and remember, is there any more comforting scripture than the prodigal son scripture? You know, that should really make us open before God. Isaiah, another scripture we can lean to here. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they will become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. So if you're willing and obedient and you go to him and you work things out with him, you will eat the best of the land. And if you adhere to the process of the courtroom. All right, so, okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So in order to state our case properly with God, we need his help. We need to contend with God and reason together with him. This invites us to even enter into a friendship with him. Our friendship and sonship with him are worked closely through the Holy Spirit. So there's even an aspect to this court where you're a friend of God in this place also. So we need God to contend with him. Where's that in scripture? Romans 8:26, which is where we're getting a lot of this stuff at, the predestined, all that stuff. It's right in Romans 8. It's all right there for us. Romans 8:26. So how does the Holy Spirit help us contend with God? In the same way, the Spirit helps in our weakness. For we do not know how we ought to pray, But the Spirit himself intercedes for us. And where is he at? He's in you. If he's in you, can he use your voice or your mind? Well, sure. And he does. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. And that means that he's going really deep. You can't explain what you feel, but you know something's wrong. You don't understand the depth of what you're trying to tell God, but the Holy Spirit does. It's right there in that scripture. And we know that God works all things together for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Who are what? Called according to his purpose. He's going to do what? He's going to work out all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. What cord are we using? The cord of calling. The cord of calling. And to expound upon this right here, Romans 8, there we are. We're still in Romans 8. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage. This is verse 15. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That is the Holy Spirit's intercession through you. Father, 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 help, help, help. I'm not right with you. I'm messed up. I don't feel worthy. You know, I hate myself. All this stuff, the deep, dark stuff that you wish wasn't in there, but it's in there. This is what God's talking about. The deep wounds, the wounds that go deep. You know, this person did that to me and I just wish that they would die. All these real things, they're in there. Do you want them to stay there? Or do you want to contend with God to remove them? All these people that are lost and broken in the world that go to church and don't receive much from church, they receive the happy faces and the everything's okay and just pray your word, brother. But God does surgery. Are we telling people that God does surgery? Are we telling people that God's not going to judge them when we bear our souls before him? No. A lot of people aren't telling that story of God. But we are, okay? But let's understand this. We need to get a depth here, a depth of compassion. We thank you, God, that you're unlocking that. So deep work, you guys, deep work. We want to settle the score. We want to So we're getting geared up to go into the court of calling. All right, this is kind of, we're coaching you up here. The court of calling. We want to settle the score. Anything in us that's whacked out, okay? We want to get it settled. Any leverage the enemy has in us, we want to remove it. Does the enemy delight when he sees all this stuff in us? Of course. Does he have a home when this stuff is in us? Well, sure. Okay, so we want to settle the score. So when you're getting in there, it's good to go ahead and repent and ask for the blood of Jesus to be applied to you. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. In a lot of courtrooms, that's wisdom. Apply the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Repent for any all known or unknown sins. That's all good. That's smart. But the work goes much deeper in this court. The work goes, this is a court, you guys, a brutal honesty. We need the inner parts of our being examined by God and flooded with his light. Another scripture that's active in this courtroom and other courtrooms, but majorly in this one, Ephesians 1:18, Paul prayed this. I prayed that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are rich, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. So Paul's praying in order for you guys to really see what's going on here, in order that you understand the hope you have, in order for you to understand that you are the prized possession of Jesus and you have a rich and glorious inheritance, you need your heart to be flooded with light. What is the light going to do? It is a searchlight that floods our heart. It is going to reveal things. What can it possibly reveal? What's possibly in that heart that so needs to be revealed? Jeremiah 17:9. Uh-oh. The heart is deceitful. Just a little bit. No. The heart is deceitful more than most things. No, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? There's one. This was a prayer of David, a wise prayer. Another scripture active in this courtroom. Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. So the Hebrew word for that word concerns, David saying, test me, know my concerns. The Hebrew word for that means disquieted or anxious thoughts. These thoughts, they always have something to say. Do you have stuff in you? Always has something to say. Always has an ulterior motive. Always has a little bit of mixture. It's what? Aggravating. It does what? Steals your peace. So what are these disquieted thoughts? They are coming from somewhere. They are coming from a compartment of our soul or our heart that is holding on to things. That is holding on to things, unresolved matters of life, things that you buried, things that we buried deep inside, give light excuses for, and for whatever reason don't want to face. These are the things that God wants us to face. And these are the things that we get to take care of in this courtroom. So the anointing in this courtroom, in the different places of heaven, there's different anointings. There's different atmosphere. There's different angels. Jesus plays different roles. The Holy Spirit plays different roles. God the Father plays different roles. So in the anointing in this court, so you have God in this court, God the Father, all-loving God, compassionate to you, ready for your vindication, ready to judge the thoughts and intents of your heart. Then we read that in that scripture, Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. The word of God judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So in different courtrooms in heaven, God judges the enemy. In this courtroom, God judges what's in our heart. God will render verdicts about what's in our heart. And we need this justice. So our hearts in the purest form delight in justice. Nothing wrong with it. So Proverbs 21:15, when justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, but a terror to evildoers. There is a good expectation of justice and proper judgment that is healthy. We are to put our hope in God's justice and allow vindication to remain with him. So many things that cause our hearts to be anxious or disquieted, those little arguments they're having, it's because of a perceived hurt, wound, or injustice. So God will walk us through processing that thing and giving the right to justice back to God, because that's the only one who's worthy to hold it. He is the only just judge. So there's a good expectation of justice and proper judgment that is healthy. We are to put our hope in God's justice and allow vindication to remain with him. We need to remove the things in us, these disquieted thoughts. What are they doing? They're contending with God in order to settle our accounts with him in different areas. We need to remove the things in us that are contending with God in order to settle our account with him in whatever area we're caught up in. Do we know that our hearts are deceitful above all things? Do we know that our soul can have different rooms or compartments? Do we know that we can have different personalities in us? All these things need to be resolved, and this court is a way to really start that works going. So this court, it's interesting, right? Because God's not judging a devil. He's judging the things in you. And what's he doing? He's saying, I see that's in you. You're wanting freedom from that. I'll do whatever it takes to set you free from that. I'll do whatever it takes to fix this thing that's wrong with you. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm going to send my light. You're wanting to be glorified. You're wanting to go from glory to glory. You need my light to do that. There's this darkness. Get with me and let's deal with this thing. Okay? So we've talked about God the judge. We've talked about in the court of calling. We've talked about the different anointings. Now the Holy Spirit in the court of calling, you want to welcome him there with you. And then you want to give him leeway to start saying things, to bring up parts of you that need to be voiced, okay? So here's an overview, okay, of the court of calling. Here's an overview. There is no strict format in this court. That's not the only court that's like that. And some courts have different formats. In this court, it is the openness and unconditional acceptance of God that gives you the chance to be open before him. Within the court of calling, God wants access to all of our broken pieces. This is a court that allows for difference, deliverance, healing, and restoration. You can also intercede when God gives you the green light. You can intercede for other people in this courtroom. God, you see what's going on in their heart. God, judge that thing in their heart. Help them. They can't see. They're blind. You know what's causing them to be how they are. God, I'm asking that you judge this thing in their life. Okay? So in this court, it sets the groundwork for so many different works of God, so many things that will lead to your or other people's justification. It kickstarts. This court is a kickstarter. This court is a court that the works from this court, it doesn't stop there. There's more to do. Okay? So here's a simple protocol, okay? A simple protocol. And we'll have these papers for you guys. I'm going to give you guys the protocol. But here's just a simple protocol. Be open and led by the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in you to divide what needs to be divided. Be ready to receive real-time counsel with God. This is only done through contending or talking things out with him. So when you're contending with God, what are you doing? You're being honest with him that this thing's in you and this thing feels this way. These disquieted thoughts are saying this. This is the condition of my heart. Any need for justice needs to be vented and submitted to God. God, if for God to judge that thing, you need to let go of it. And there may be a process in this court of calling, which is a court of God's unconditional love. God will allow you different cases. You know, you don't have to get everything nailed at once. It's a process, okay? But any need for justice needs to be vented and submitted to God. Anything in us that is not at peace must be brought up and judged by God. Let the anointing do its work. The anointing in this courtroom is so important. The anointing is what brings these things up. The anointing, the Holy Spirit in you, is what allows the process to happen. It just doesn't start happening. It's the anointing. It's the move of God. It's you submitting to God. It's you believing that God, I know there's a court of calling in the heavenly places. I know your scripture's all in this place. I know that there's a perfect work to be done. And I'm submitting myself to you and believing you for this. And how many people know that God's been saying for a while, and I guarantee you, every one of you, God's spoken about the revelation he has for each one of you. Specific revelation of his word, of his kingdom. When God shows you something deep in someone's heart, that's because he wants to deal with it. So now we're becoming well-rounded. We're becoming peculiar because we're going to be using heaven like never before. We're going to take care of all of our issues in the heavenly courts. We're not going to do it by what our mind thinks is the smart thing to do, right? So let the anointing do its work. As you go along, it's wise to keep tabs of what's being addressed. Know what God's addressing. Know what he's bringing up. Know what God is judging and showing you. And now, oftentimes, you may just be going through your daily life, and all these things start coming up, and it's not fun. It's not fun, but that's really a good thing, because God's bringing these things up to do what with them? Because he wants to judge them. So now we can go into this course, and now we know what to do. When we feel all these things coming up, we know what to do. We go in this court, we get with God, and allow him to work these things out of us. So keep tabs. Know what God's showing you. Know what he's judging. Ask, ask, ask for judgment. God judges the thing. Ask for justice. You can scream help if you want. You can cry. Let it all out. Vent, vent, vent. The anointing in this court is doing a deep work. Let God uncover what is in you. Don't suppress it. Don't suppress it. It has to come out. Again, I say, let the anointing do its work. And so know this, that in this courtroom, when God is judging us, when he judges a certain thing, this thing in your heart, that thing in your heart, he is also judging the spirits behind that thing, meaning the spirits that work to keep you bound in that way, to keep you in an unhealthy or ungodly cycle. Okay, and then the rest of that is going to be on your handout. We're not going to cover that. So know that this place is for you guys. Do you guys want to take care of business, you know, before God to move forward? This is very crucial. So the courtroom of heaven is very vast. We put the enemy on notice. We take back jurisdiction. We can sue him. We can petition for all these different orders. We can use the different areas of heaven to bring about God's will. But we can't do all that if we're not taking care of this step first. The court of calling is very important because your calling is based upon your position in heaven. When we do all those awesome things because we are assigned a position. We can't do anything with the backing of heaven that's done outside of our position. In order to be in your position, get the mantles, get the robes, everything that's tied into your position, you need to go through the justification process. And that scripture called justified, glorified, you know, that's a process. We go from glory to glory. So it's like, you know, we take care of things as they come. Okay. So do we have an understanding of why we need the courtroom of calling if we want to be active in the courts of heaven? If we want to have our position of authority open to us and active for what? Active to interface with the earth. Active to be ever present with heaven, and active to be able to ransack hell. Do we know that the enemy, how many times has the enemy said, or excuse me, God said, the enemy did not have the legal right to do that, but he's doing it anyway. God has given so many mandates. It's been spoken out of this pulpit. It's been in so many words that Pastor Barbara's given out. God is saying so many different times. There's so many mandates that God has given, and the enemy totally blew off. He has to pay for all that. That's all kind of justice we have to release. So when we get in our positions, we have that justice made available to us, and that justice is used for the lives of other people. Your position in the heavenly places will be used by God to drain hell in many people's lives, to establish the kingdom on earth, and to increase heaven. Hallelujah. Well, God, we thank you that heaven is so real. We thank you, God, that we are your elect, that we are a chosen generation, that we are a royal priesthood, that we are equipped for everything you've called us to do. God, we thank you that your chambers are open. And children, don't let a day go by that you stand far away. My heart of burning passion and sincerity to hear your case. It's not going away. It is here for you. Take me up on my calling and don't miss me. Many a time you have drifted. Many a time you have been stirred up in all the wrong areas. Bring all these things to me so that I can deflate the enemy in you, so that I can deflate the wounded parts of your soul and reconcile you to me once and for all. So there's the area of justice that is all in the altar area. The altar area is now an area of divine justice. God has seen the deepest struggles in the hidden parts, and there's an anointing to start to receive the justice in that area of your life, and it's going to kickstart a 180, and you'll never turn back again. The altar is open.